can afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Christy Stratton.
And yay, Christy!
Hurrah! Hurrah!
Christy and I'm going to just let you know, we're in the same room right now.
Mm.
We're more than 6 feet apart.
Yes, just coughing on each other.
Just, you know, we hugged.
Yeah.
No, we came into the room with masks on. Everything's good.
Yeah.
But we are in person.
We're in person.
We've been trying to get this scheduled for a while. We were going to do it outside. And then I just asked Christy, you want to just do it inside? We'll just be 6 feet apart. And it's going to be nicer inside than it's so hot in Woodland Hills.
Right. Now, whatever happened that time that you said something died in your backyard?
Oh, okay.
So we were supposed to do it outside, by the way. This was a while ago.
Yes.
And then Pat calls and says, something died. We can't find it.
I thought, like, Pilar and I both smelled it. She's like, do you smell that? I go, that's something died. And we couldn't locate it. So I thought it was like behind the fence, like the top of the fence where there's an opening where things can crawl behind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes.
I can't really explain it, but we thought it was in the fence. So, and that's not my thing. No way. Like, I've had a rat in the pool and I go to the neighbor. I'm like, Jerry, will you come over and scoop this rat out of the pool? Rats and mice. I'm no good. Anything else I'm good with, but not that. And so I had the, we have bait stations around the house because there's creatures around here.
Yes.
So so the people came out and then it was a woman too. She's a woman. I can't do it.
A dead woman? You found a dead woman?
I found a dead woman.
Oh my God.
She couldn't find anything and then the smell was gone, but there was no way I was having you over because you would have been like, ugh, what is that?
So maybe another creature.
Maybe another creature ate that creature.
Right.
But she couldn't find anything, and that was okay, too. But it was pretty pungent. It was like, no doubt that's what it was.
Oof.
Yeah. Gross. So, so you've been quarantining with Gary and Johnny. How's Johnny holding up? He's 10?
He's 10. And here's why he's okay, is because he's got the Fortnite and the Roblox and the games where you can play with your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And yes, would I rather him be playing on his Little League team? Sure. But he's at least, these games are shoot 'em up games. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Right.
But you have to kind of compromise and negotiate, and teamwork is a big element in having these and winning these things. And it keeps him from going crazy. He's actually doing great. Like, he's really, so I think like it's a good age. Whereas people who have younger kids,
my God.
Heart goes out to them.
What do you think the age, like 6 and under, you think, or is Johnny right at the age where anything younger than Johnny might be a disaster?
I don't know. Maybe some bit younger, but I was on a Zoom meeting with someone who has a 4-year-old, and it's so interesting. He's like, she's becoming sentient during COVID. So I just found that so interesting and such a challenge. Mm-hmm. And I Zoom on Bless the Hearts. There's a couple people who have like 2 and 3 year olds and they toddle in and there's nothing you can do. And it's great actually, because we get to see them and interact with them. And it's fun for us. But
yeah. Are you limiting how much he can be on screens and stuff, or is it like
we're trying to? It's not so much a limit as it is like, hey, let's go run around the beach. We're Airbnb-ing for a little bit, and like, let's go look for dolphins, or let's throw the football around. And he is one of those kids. He is. But I have noticed his stamina is not what it used to be, and it's a shame. But I think he'll get it. He'll get it back, and we do what we can to try to
I think
break
that's
up
whatever,
the day. Yeah,
and with Rita has been staying up till like 4 a.m. and then sleeping till 2 p.m. And we're like, I don't care.
Right.
What are you going to do? I don't care. She's on FaceTime with her friends.
Yeah.
You know, we know where she is. She's right there in her room. We know what she's doing. You know, she's not, you know.
Right.
What can you
do?
Yeah, you just got to let them do their thing.
Right.
Start putting restrictions on that. It's going to be bad for us.
Yes, exactly.
And, she goes out to the pool and, all that good stuff. So whatever.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes. Swimming is good. I love swimming. We love swimming in our house, too.
We haven't, you don't know this, but I probably said it on the show. We haven't even, I haven't been to a store at all. We use Amazon.
Like a grocery store?
Amazon Fresh, they come right to the door.
Oh, okay.
I haven't been to a grocery store or Target or anything. Things that I would go to every day months ago, nothing.
We a couple times. Gary will be the one that goes out and...
Yeah, you send the forages. Dad out. He's the one that can take the bullet.
Yeah. But, I mean, we certainly limit ourselves, and we haven't, like, gone to a mall or anything.
Yeah, well, I'm not putting myself up on a pedestal because I've been doing...
Well, you're putting yourself up on a pedestal.
I'm just letting you know I'm just not going anywhere. I might never grocery shop again. Because when I add up what it is to grocery shop, you get your list, you drive over there, you get out of the car, load up your cart, check it out, go back to the car, load it in the car, come home, unload it, and then bring it in the house. Now... Hey, it's on the porch. I wipe everything off and I bring it in.
Yeah.
I mean, time saves time.
Agreed. There is some interesting things, I think, to come out of this. We're talking about Pilar and how she's able to now teach in front of more students.
Twice as many students.
And not have the actual physical office.
Yeah,
and
saving tons of money not renting the office. So, and it wasn't even like, we weren't even like, should we, shouldn't we? We were just like, I don't think we need the office anymore. Nope. Because I can record a podcast anywhere, and people were like, what about when you're back to face to face and you try to get like a rock star? And I was just like, they don't need to know that we ever had an office. I'll just tell them we always recorded here.
Right.
They won't know. They don't. I mean, I always say Barack Obama went to Mark Maron's house.
Yeah.
So I think I could get the bass player from Bang Tango to come here.
Right. And what's so cool about this room
it's a music room.
Right.
It's got the paraphernalia on the wall.
Absolutely.
So I'm not worried about that at all. And actually, the sound in this room is better than the big office.
It does sound good.
Yeah, it's not bad. Hmm. All right, Christy. So nice to see you.
Good to see
That's
you.
That's most important.
Aww.
Recording is a bonus, but just seeing you, because I haven't seen you in, 5 months?
Has it been that long?
I think it has been. Easily. Mm. Easily. So we're doing ZZ Top.
Yes.
Because you're from Texas.
I'm from Texas.
You're a Texpert.
I am a Texpert.
You're a ZZ Top fan.
Yeah, absolutely. This is one that I actually am a fan of, although there's some of these that I didn't know as far as albums.
Sure,
and stuff.
Sure. Some later ones.
And watching that documentary on Netflix, which is good, but then it just ends.
Yeah, it's, well, here's the thing, really. I mean, their story is they were... small band and they made it big. That's the story. There's the drummer had some drug issues.
Yes.
But my biggest takeaway from the whole documentary was that these three guys have been together for 50 years.
Yeah.
They obviously love playing together and they get along. You know what I mean? And even when they're they didn't try to replace Frank Beard when he had some drug problems.
No.
They worked it out. And they just I love seeing them in like their homes and stuff because I'm like, these dudes have a ton of money.
Yeah.
But it looks like they've also, you know, done well with their money. You know what I mean?
Right.
It looks like we earned money. It took a long time to earn money. And now that we have it, we're not losing that money. You know what I mean? So I like the documentary, but yeah, it just kind of
stops. And I think that's interesting. Yeah. My biggest takeaway was, oh my gosh, Billy Gibbons was a cutie under all that.
Yeah.
And in a cutie in a nerd way that I would have loved. Mm-hmm. Like if I was a young person and I saw this kind of nerdy guy playing wow, shocked at what a cutie.
Yeah.
He was. And then the beards and all that. Yeah. Whatever, to each his own.
I'll tell you this too. If you would have asked me in October of 2019, if you would have said, ask me about ZZ Top, I would have told you, I don't like ZZ Top.
Really?
Yes. I was never really a fan.
Hmm.
I mean, I knew the hits. And I think when Eliminator came out on MTV, I think I just got so sick of it.
Right.
And so that just made me not even want to look into their catalog at all. But Murray told me I should watch the documentary. But I thought, you know what? Before I watch the documentary, I'm going to listen to their music. So okay. I bought all their albums.
Oh, wow.
I bought everyone. And I went through them chronologically. And from the first album, I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't. Yeah, this is.
This some is fun bluesy.
This is way more fun than I thought it was. It's not just spinning guitars in that car.
Right. But that's how they survived the 80s, which we can get to, obviously.
How all the bands survived the 80s. Heart, Cheap Trick, everyone had to go for that production. But man.
Right. And they did it with a sense of humor, which, yeah. Anyway, again, we'll get there.
So here we go. 1971. The album is called ZZ Top's first album.
Yeah.
What do you
I remember I played something from this
I believe you did. Yeah.
But I have just got back from babies. Here's how I listen to them. I've discovered this thing called Spotify. I don't know if you know of it, but I just discovered it. And it's amazing. Like, I can just put a song in and then it'll kind of whatever. Yep. I put an artist in or I put a thing. And so it's so great with COVID. My husband and I at sunset will go out and just have our wine, or he'll have his martini, which is just, you know, vodka in a glass. But and I just kind of put the different whatever album it was on Spotify, and then this one I caught into, and I love this whole blues sound of this, and here it is. Just got back from babies.
All right.
No, I'm just got back from babies. We've been rolling all night long. No, I'm just got back from babies. We've been rolling all night long. She come on like she love me, but I feel like something wrong.
Yeah, that's good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that is good.
And I'm not even a blues, like, I don't like blues, but I like when they do it. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Because they love it so much, so it makes me like it. I like the Blues Brothers. They're good.
Oh.
Julia Jake and Elwood Blues.
Okay.
Okay, the song I have from ZZ Top's first album is Somebody Else Been Shaking Your Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we know what that means.
Sure.
Well, I'm tired of sometimes.
These albums are recorded so well too. You know how sometimes you listen to an album and you're like, the production value wasn't great back then.
Right.
Not these albums. They sound great.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess that's because of Bill Ham.
Yeah. Basically, well, no, was he there from that time?
Yes.
Okay.
The first.
I can't remember if he's been there from the beginning or not.
Pretty sure. Yeah. The first 10 albums, okay, all produced by Bill Ham. That guy just kind of. He didn't try to change them. You know what I mean? He just knew how to get their sound onto vinyl.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I don't know what else to say about it, but that's it. Was ZZ Top a big thing because you're from Texas? Were they a big thing in the state of Texas?
Well, yes. And I only saw them one time though, but, I was just a teenager, mm-hmm, but, and I remember my dad had one, he had Fandango, that, which we'll get to, but, and I'm like, what is this? But yeah, they were definitely big. I just assumed that they were big everywhere, but,
yeah,
but which they kind of were, whereas like, I remember Stevie Ray Vaughan, when I would talk about him in Florida, people were like, who is this guy? Like, they just didn't even know.
Yeah.
Whereas I think ZZ Top kind of broke through.
And they did have, ZZ Top did have like FM radio staples.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, from, real, you know, good ones too.
Yes, they did. So, and I don't know that Stevie Ray Vaughan had that as
right,
much.
Right, you're right. He didn't have any those big songs. Right. I mean, although we love them and, you know, yes.
All right, we're going to move on to 1972, Rio Grande Mud. Am I saying that right? Is it Grande?
We say I've heard Rio Grande, but we always said Rio Grande.
Rio Grande Mud?
Yeah, it's right. So funny. What? I don't. Rio Grande? We would say Rio Grande.
Yeah, Rio Grande Mud then.
Yeah.
That's what
Rio
we'll say.
Rio Grande? I don't know. Depends.
All right.
What area you're from?
I'm from the area that couldn't
but I would
pronounce
say Grande.
Anything.
I would say Grande.
To see how.
Like Ariana Grande. Like that's how
okay.
I would.
All right.
That helps you, Pat.
That helps me. Now, I put some antibacterial gel over there. I don't know if you want to
so
use it.
So I can just gel up every... Sure,
if you want to, after every song. Because these songs are kind of dirty.
Right. That's a... Yes. Yes, they really are. And it's very funny because I'm like, why haven't any of these rock stars been canceled? But what I find so interesting, and we'll get to it because I have a song that's really gross, like if you listen to the lyrics.
And so
but
I love it. I have one too.
Okay. They're gross. But I don't know if it's because... They had such a sense of humor, and they weren't Lothario-looking guys.
Right.
I don't know, but they got away with it all.
Yeah, and it's tongue-in-cheek, kind of.
Right!
And even in the documentary, there's not a lot of talk about groupies. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's not a lot of talk of sex.
No.
It's really, the documentary is really about the music.
Yes.
And how they just wanted to break through and be... just they wanted to make a living playing music for the rest of their lives, and they've been able to do that.
Right.
Yeah, so...
Right, because usually there's like the guys that wanted to get into it because they wanted to get girls.
Right.
And they that wasn't in it? Or am I thinking of another?
I don't remember.
I'm thinking of David Foster.
Okay.
Or no, who am I thinking? Because that's usually a big part of the story. They saw the Beatles
and we wanted
and
to get chicks.
And then we want to get chicks.
Yeah.
And which is fine. I have no problem with that.
Sure.
But you're right. It doesn't really. And one of those guys has. Not HIV, but has the other one that Pam Anderson has.
Hepatitis C?
Yes.
One of the ZZ Top guys does? Was that in the documentary?
No.
See, they glossed over some stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe there were tons of groupies and they just cut that all out.
Yeah. And you know Dusty Hill did a King of the Hill.
Yes.
Yeah. I wasn't, because they weren't there. Like, they were just remotely. But yeah, that was kind of fun.
That would have been cool if you got to meet them.
I know.
Okay, so what's your song off Rio Grande
Mud?
Did I pick
Just Got Paid?
You did.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
You both of your songs, you got Just Got Back and then Just
and
Got
just
Paid.
Just Got Paid. Like, something just happened to me and I want to write a song about it. And,
and here
that's
it is.
How, and here it is.
All right, Just Got Paid.
Just got paid today. Got me a pocket full of change. Today got me a pocket full of change. If you believe that I'm working hard all day, just step on my shoes and take my money.
I mean, that is so good.
It's really great.
It's so good. And it was funny, Pat, because I'm like, well, do I pick songs that... You know, like, that was a big radio song, but I'm like, but it's so good. I'm not sick of it.
The hits are undeniable, so you do have to, we do have to feature them sometimes. It's just a thing. You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been taking a lot of deep dives during the quarantine into people's discographies.
Ooh.
Like, people, like, I'm like, oh, I know some of their songs, but I wonder if I'd like their albums. And I can tell you one band that I do not like at all when I took the deep dive. I'm going to say they suck. I think they suck. Dokken.
Oh, I thought you were going to really like Queen.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't go out on a limb. I'm just
okay.
But I'm like, oh, I like some of these Dokken songs. I wonder what these albums are like. And I'm like, oh, these are awful. This is awful.
Wow.
But ZZ Top, the exact opposite.
Mm.
So great.
You pick, Pat?
I pick Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot of their songs are just about
food, TV dinners. We got that somewhere.
Whatever you know, I think I got one, something about a poke chop sandwich coming up.
All right,
here we go. Feel like every one of their songs is about sex.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are. And that's okay. So there must
but
have
here's
been
what
there
was
must
so
have
interesting.
Been
here's cute
girls.
Little, you know, Billy Gibbons looking darling.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, we clearly in our songs all want, you know, we're young, we want, you know, the sex from the ladies, but we're going to hide. We're going to hide behind these thinning beards.
Mm-hmm.
And hats and just really cloak ourselves
yeah.
not put ourselves out there in any way.
Yeah.
I just, it's...
It's interesting.
It's I'm flummoxed.
Yeah. Before I forget, the prize I'm going to give away in conjunction with this episode, it won't be this week because they haven't arrived yet, but do you like these Funko Pop figures?
Yeah, you got me the Angus Young.
That's right.
One.
Yes,
yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
Well, they just released a ZZ Top set.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm going to give away a complete set of those.
Oh, that's
to
fun.
Someone, one of our Patreon supporters. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Pilar does not like those at all. She goes, it's the same head on different bodies. Whoever yeah. thought of that, I go, yeah, they've ever thought of it's a genius. I go, they have two molds and then they just change the clothes. Who cares? Not a fan. Now, Tres Hombres.
Oh, this is, I know.
You had a tough time.
A
you had four songs.
Oh my God. That's
so whatever
right.
you want to, and all let right. me see if I'm, maybe I didn't pick any because I picked one, but I probably won't play
oh,
it because I'll let you take a point on this.
Well, okay. Well, let's start with Jesus Just Left Chicago, Waiting for the Bus. That is, it's, as far as one song that goes into another song, mm-hmm. like We Will Rock You, We're the Champions, yeah. like this is up there with that. I think in the one song goes into the other song.
Okay.
Right?
And do you want me to play, you want me to start
play
at the
a
end?
Little bit of both of those.
I will. Okay. Waiting for the Bus is first.
Oh, right. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's
and
okay.
then yes, yes, yes.
All right, here we go. Waiting for the Bus.
I mean, it's pretty simple, but fantastic, right?
Yeah. And this is the first one to go gold, so this is like kind of a breakthrough. Should I jump into Jesus?
Yes, oh yeah. Chicago and is back for New Orleans. Well, now Jesus just left Chicago and is back for New Orleans. Hey, yeah. What I love, I mean, obviously they're great songs, but isn't it funny how like they glorify like the simple life. I've got a brown paper bag yep. and my take home pay.
Yep.
And like, it's just such a simple, I don't know. They don't, it's not about anything grandiose.
Right.
They're just, and they put them with this blues thing that's awesome. Like it's just yeah. great.
Yeah.
Anytime those songs are on, I'm like, yes.
And
yes.
you know what's sad about classic rock radio is classic rock radio, if ZZ Top comes on the radio, it's the same couple of songs. If Cheap Trick comes on the radio, same couple of songs. Even with the
right.
Cars, there's just a handful.
There's no album-oriented rock anymore.
Yeah, no one goes deep. No one plays a deep cut. It's, you know what I mean?
Right. And there was that one, I don't remember which of the satellite radios, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's Sirius or the other one. But there is like a deep cuts.
Yeah. Well, satellite radio is a little bit different, but okay. I'm talking just terrestrial yeah. radio. Like if you know, it's.
Right. And they're like oldies. Now we're yeah. lumped in with that. And it's, yeah.
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 It's weird.
It is weird.
You got.
Okay. So I have, okay. I want to play Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers next. And here's why I picked this one.
Okay. Cause you're both of those things.
Well, for sure. But okay. I know, like I'm a Cars fan or a whatever Beatles fan, or I can clearly delineate between the vocalists in certain bands.
Oh, but this band,
one
you can't.
I can't. But this song, they do it in the verse. You'll hear it. Billy sings one, and then Dusty. But other than when they're right up next to each other, I can't really tell. I just assume it's Billy, but I'm like, no, it can't be. Anyway, so play this.
And what's funny is with the Cars, people will say that about Ben and Rick, but I can totally,
oh, totally.
Tell who's who. But
yes.
Some people are like, I had no idea that there was another singer. What? All right, here we go. Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers. If you see me walking down the line, okay, that's Billy. And then that's Dusty.
Back to Billy.
Okay. just got a chill listening to that.
Yeah, it was good.
Baby, don't you want to come with me?
Simple life.
Yeah.
Come with me to my simple life. We'll drink beer. Mm-hmm. We'll make a barbecue, which is an innuendo for something else or whatever. Like,
of course.
It's
when and when I was looking at the credits when I would be listening to these albums, I would, you know, immediately I assumed before listening, I'm like, oh, when Dusty sings, those songs probably aren't going to be that great. You know what I mean? But wrong. They're great. They're great.
I guess I can't tell. Like, yeah. That's Billy. But sometimes it's in between.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. But
anyway.
And then the other one,
this is
everyone knows this.
Yes. This is LaGrange. It's in every Bruce Willis movie. I mean, I don't know. I still am not sick of it, but
I'm not sick of it either.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I mean, that intro, you immediately are like, you're into it immediately.
Yeah.
Rumors spreading around. Life takes its time. About to check outside the game. You know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that whole mile on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
So great.
So great.
I did love in the documentary when they would just be in that big room together and they would just jam together. They just have a second hand with each other. Like, they just know where I'm going to go here and you're going to, and I know you're going to follow me, and then I'm going to lay down a guitar solo. They just, and this for me, I don't know how to play any instruments, but I just, you could watch that and you could just feel, oh, they're feeling the music.
Absolutely. And they still tour? Question
they
mark?
Do. No, okay. They do. They do.
I assumed so. And you can always tell the ones that have, you know, continued to play, and the ease and all of that. And
because they love it.
Yeah. And why shouldn't they?
Why shouldn't they? That's what they've wanted to do all their lives. My friend Mike Schmidt always says, dude, their job's rock star. Who stops doing that?
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
That's especially their job. Because that kind of idea is gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that you can't be a pop star, and right. There's some great pop music that is, that's, you know, undeniable, and great music in other genres, but I.
And because of the way they sing, they're not really straining their voice in the way that a Steve Perry would, to
right.
Where Steve Perry can't
right.
Tour at 65. These guys will be able to tour until they're done.
Yes, that's a very good point. Or like Robert Plant.
I mean,
there's a long time ago, there were some issues.
Yep. And like Mick Jagger is like incredible to me because he's 75 or 76. He still runs around on stage. And because Mick's voice was always, he doesn't sing the way.
Right.
You know, he doesn't have to hit a high note. He just sings the way only Mick Jagger sings.
Yeah.
But he's still able to do that.
Yeah.
Good for them. Good for them.
I agree. Agree.
Yeah, good for
Who
them.
Who else are we going to see at the Bowl? Maroon 5? Like what?
I know.
Huh? Are they still together? I don't even know.
I've been interviewing, you know, the past couple of weeks I've interviewed through Zoom, Dennis DeYoung, John Anderson, and Mike Reno. And inevitably it will come up that, hey, the music you guys made, we're still hearing.
Yeah.
Whether it's in commercials or at the Super Bowl or wherever it is. I go, so when people would make fun of me, maybe 20 years ago, because I'm still listening to that music. Now I can kind of like, you know, thumb my nose at them and go, yeah, this is still happening, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to go away.
I meant to reach out when you were interviewing John Anderson. Did you ask at all about his Christmas album? Because it's my favorite.
It came up. It came up in passing.
Okay.
Roy Thomas Baker produced that.
Okay. Yeah. Gosh, how did I not know that? I literally own it.
It just came up in passing. He mentioned it, but I didn't have any question about that. And there's just so much to cover with him.
Sure, I can imagine.
And then
the young wife, I mean.
And he must have been told that it was only going to be an hour, because at 1 hour, he said, and with that, thank you so much for, you know,
okay.
He answered a question. And I said, oh, we're done? And he's like, and he just said, yeah. And I go, can I ask you? I go, I have a couple questions from listeners. Can I just ask you those? And he said, yeah. He was lovely. He was gracious.
That's great.
But Mike Reno, Mike Reno listened to a couple of the episodes when I interview people. So he was all in. He got right. it. He knew what was going to happen. And he had phenomenal stories.
Really?
I'm going to tell you this one real quick. I'm
okay.
gonna
thumbnail I'm so excited.
I'm going to thumbnail it for you.
Okay.
You know the song Almost Paradise from Footloose?
Yes.
That is one take.
Wow.
It's the first take and that's it. And him and Ann sung together at the same mic.
No.
Yes. He said, Ann came, she wasn't in a great mood. He was asking her, I go, did you know her? He goes, no, I was just a fan of hers. He chose her to sing it with him.
Okay.
They said, who do you want to sing with? He goes, Ann Wilson. She's the greatest voice
yeah.
ever. So she comes, she's not in a good mood about something. He didn't know what. He said, do you want to just chill out and have a beer? She said, yes. They're having a beer. He said it felt kind of like a date. They're just talking. And then he says to her, do you know the song? She goes, yeah, I know the song. He goes, do you want to give it a go? She goes, sure. So through the intercom, you get Keith Olsen produced. He said, Keith, I think we're ready to give it a go. So he said, we sing it face to face, same microphone.
Wow.
We sing it once. Keith comes on and he says, all right, I think we got it. And they were like, okay, you want to do it again? He's like, no, it's not going to, that's it. We're done.
Wow.
And he said, and they've never sang it together again. And he said, we've been on tour with Heart. And I always say, Ann, you want to try Almost Paradise tonight? And she's like, no way.
Why?
I think it was just like such a, such a thing. Like we can't, no, we did. That's the one. But I think that's amazing. That's a first take. First and only take when you hear that song.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then let's get RTB then.
You know what? He's a serial retweeter.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like not just with Rock Solid or me personally. He just, if you mention him, he retweets it and likes it. And I've reached out a couple times. I just, no one will reach back, but
okay.
I'll keep trying.
Well, maybe so much with, to talk with about. Zoom, because you Zoomed with those other guys, right?
Yeah. So I'm just like, and I hate the Zoom for that. I like this.
Yes.
Especially because, but I'm like, well, Dennis DeYoung lives in Chicago and Mike Reno is in Vancouver. And so I'll reach out to people that don't live here and I'll Zoom with them. Because John Anderson was going to do it in person because he lives in Santa Barbara. But
of course he does.
But the album's out now and we can't do it in person with John Anderson. So I said, well, I'll do it through Zoom. So, but yeah, RTB so cool. through Zoom would be great. You could be at home. He'll be at home. I'll be here.
I very quickly, and we'll get back to ZZ Top.
Sure.
My husband was watching that Queen movie,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen it. I went in the movie theaters. I saw it.
Yeah.
But this time, like he was watching and I had my back to it and I was doing a puzzle and I'm like, this screenplay sucks. It is so bad. And yet it fooled me into thinking it was a good movie. It was like, mm-hmm. I've got these songs in my heart. I mean, I don't know that that's a line, but it's stuff like that. And I'm like, Lord.
What I say about it is, it's not a great movie, but I did enjoy watching it. And I did enjoy.
Yeah, I did too.
I did enjoy. Oh my God, that guy looks exactly like Brian May. You know, I just did enjoy stuff like that.
Yes. So, and then the end is a great ending.
Yeah.
Of course.
Although I wish when they went through the curtain, then they just would have played the actual footage of Live Aid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good, because I did not like the Elton John one.
You didn't like the Elton John one? Did you know it was going to be like a full-on like Broadway-type musical?
I assumed.
Okay.
But it's just like, and then I'm like, oh, so everyone else is a cartoon. No one has any mitigating qualities.
Yeah.
It's just cartoon and this guy. If I get a job and they say, okay, in 3 months, you're going to play Elton John. You're 30 pounds overweight. What are you going to do? You're going to slim down because guess what? Elton John didn't look like a linebacker. Elton John was a very trim,
slight
person.
So you didn't even like that guy's performance?
No, I did not. I just kept going like, this guy should be playing like a football player or something.
Okay.
Like and I love that opening. The opening was great when he came in with a thing, but it was just too much of the same note hit over and over again. And I mean, those songs are terrific.
Yeah.
But I liked the Queen movie better. But like I say, if you're just listening to the words, it's going to be it's called A Night at the Opera. And we're going to, I'm like, oh, brother, as I'm putting the corner pieces in.
We want something that the audience, what can they play in their seats?
Yeah. Oh my God. That was such hokum.
Plus I hated the fact that now Brian May and Roger Taylor were consultants on the film. Well, "We Will Rock You, We Are the Champions" wasn't written when Freddie had short hair and a mustache. So that kind of stuff really takes me out of it. I'm like,
See, and I'm okay with that a little bit, but here's my fear, Pat. And listeners, if you can help me, they have decided to do a Bee Gees movie. I know what the story, I know what the movie should be.
Wait, they have, or you're?
Yes.
Okay.
There's been a director chosen and a writer chosen. And I was like, Brad, my manager, I'm like, get me a meeting on this. He's like, you're a TV comedy writer. They're not going to let you do this. And I'm like, but I alone know what the story is. And I know how to make it, keep it from that.
Yeah.
Although that was very successful.
Yeah.
Anyway, my friend who works at Paramount in the music licensing department, he's like, there's been no movement on it yet.
Hmm.
And I'm like, oh, what can I do? What can I do? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a comedy writer. Still, I know what the story is, and the story is about the brothers. It's about the brothers. It's about the conflict between Barry and Robin, and then that kind of drives. Anyway, I don't want to give away my secrets to what I think the movie would be, but I think there's a lot more that's less hokey. There's not anyway. I
bet a Bee Gees movie closes with the success of Saturday Night Fever. I bet they don't even go beyond that.
What I would do, I'd do a denouement about, because that to me, I think that when they got inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, to me, that's the end. Because they were kind of, after that, remember, they were a joke. And they were, they burned their records. It's like, we're just making music. What right. What gives? Like, why are you, we're not, you know, racists or whatever.
Right.
And then the fact that they came back and were able to win people back, and I, of course, I think it's told via the story of the brothers and their relationship. Mm-hmm. But I do think that them being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame redeemed them. And they kind of, everyone remembered like, oh, yeah, we like you guys.
Yeah.
We think y'all are pretty great. And then you have like Jimmy Fallon, who plays Barry Gibb on SNL. And they're kind of, the stigma is over.
Yeah.
And again, I think the personal story is what drives the bus. However, I would certainly cap it with, because they, you know, had like three different comebacks.
Yeah,
anyway,
they did.
Which is also kind of funny and an interesting engine.
And Paramount, get the wigs right. Let's get some good wigs.
Oh my God, for God's wigs sake. Are the worst, and I don't know why. Because my husband was the exec on Key and Peele on Comedy Central.
Yeah,
and oh my gosh, you watch Key and Peele for wigs and makeup, and I know they got nominated for Emmys, but they look amazing.
Yeah.
And then they have the film to match that, like they did a Mr. T thing one time, and they bought old film. My point is, there are people that are talented enough to get those things right and not look silly.
Yeah, a motion picture should always get it right. Like a big budget motion picture should never get the wigs wrong.
Oh my gosh. All right. Sorry about that. That anyway, help me, everyone.
Moving on to Fandango, which is one side's live and one side's studio.
Yes. And I didn't even, like, this was one of my dad's records. And I remember going, like, what is this? The cover of it didn't even feel slick like other album covers felt. It felt like flat and like homemade almost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the font is kind of homemade, but I picked a couple from this because I like it. Or do you want to go first? Because I've been going first.
No. We'll stick with your list. And
Balinese, this is the first one of two that I've chosen.
And is this one of the live ones or is this one of the studio ones?
I believe it's a studio one.
All right.
Now that I'm Spotify, I get them all mixed up.
Deep in the south of Texas.
That's Dusty.
Not so long ago.
Yes, it is.
Woo!
They're on a crowded island in the Gulf of Mexico. It didn't take too much money. Remember, the show was nice. You could dance all night if you felt all right. Drinking whiskey.
I don't want to fade any of them down. I'm getting into it.
Never
And in the headphones, it sounds amazing.
Amazing.
All right, I think my next song is also Dusty, but I didn't even... This is like one of those ones you're talking about. I didn't really know... I didn't know this was Dusty until I'm just reading it right now. He sings lead on Tush.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Here we go. I'm not sure what this one's about.
Yeah, no, it's unclear.
I tell you something, if any other band was this on the nose with some of their songs, I would be so angry and hate it.
Yes.
But for some reason, these guys are winning me over with it. And it doesn't bother me at all.
It's a wink and a smile. It's like it's tongue in cheek a little bit.
It is. Yeah.
And because they are not, they don't look like Mick Jagger.
Yeah. Or Sebastian Bach or something. They just have like a folksy, they have a beer with you and a
yes,
and a
they're
burger.
The guys you want to have a beer with. Yeah. Yeah. And this one also from Fandango. This is Heard It on the X. And I love this. This is the one I fell in love with when I first listened to the album.
Do you remember back in 1966? Country Jesus, hillbilly blues, that's where
they're both singing this one too. So different
yeah.
from anything that was going on at the time. It just felt very different, and I like that.
And there's so much like riffing going on, but it's what do I want to say? It's just part of the song. Like it doesn't. It's not like someone's taking a guitar solo. It's like a guitar solo from start to finish almost. It's
yes.
just so much.
And it doesn't sound like three guys, which all the best trios don't sound like three guys. But that's just so amazing to me.
And I don't know if these guys, when they tour, like sometimes a three-piece when they tour, they augment it with a bunch of other stuff. I don't know if these guys did. It feels like it's just the three guys.
Right? You know? Why would they?
Yeah, I mean...
Like there's not really any keyboards that need to come in.
No, there's no background vocalists, no female background singers.
Right.
It's just the guys.
Yeah.
Don't have to split that money up. Just three ways, guys.
Just three ways.
Now, this next album, I don't know how to pronounce this album.
Tejas.
Tejas, is that
it? Oh, out? Yeah.
All right. I didn't think it was Tejas, but I didn't know if it was Texas or...
It's Spanish for Texas.
Texas,
yeah.
Okay. This is an album that I didn't know at all. I really like this album.
Oh, yeah? I just really know the one song. Yeah. I don't know this one either.
Let me see how many I picked off this. Did I pick more than one? No, I just picked one, but I really like this because, again, I like the album. This album cover just feels like ZZ Top. I just liked it.
Mm.
I don't know. That's it. That's as deep as I'm getting.
Right.
You picked It's Only Love.
It's Only Love.
All right,
this is as close as it gets, I guess, to a ballad.
And there's no hits on this album.
No, this one was a little bit, right? No?
Sweet thing.
Radio.
Dusty on the co-lead in there.
Was this any kind of hit?
Yeah, that was a single for sure.
Oh.
And that's the song that kicks off the album. But this album doesn't have any like Heard It on the X
right,
or Tush
right.
or any of those. And the one I picked from this album was She's a Heartbreaker.
Oh.
Because I like this groove.
She used to drive a beat-up pickup down around San Antonio, stealing the heart of every guy in town, including the one I own. But this sweet young thing of 17 will sting you with the lovesick blues. Just a blonde
country. That's,
yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I like to, well, they wear cowboy hats sometimes.
Yeah.
I like to play some songs that maybe someone's like, oh, I've never heard that song before.
Yeah, that's good.
Find that album. Moving on to, I don't know how to say this album either. Christy, help me.
You know what? I always say Deguello, but it's probably
Deguello is what I say.
Yeah, I say. I say
Deguello.
Yeah. Oh, Deguello.
Deguello.
That's it.
All right. Are you sure?
Yeah.
This was a big song.
Yeah, I love it. I'm bad. I'm nationwide. I'm bad, comma. I'm nationwide. Right. Right. There's a comma.
This is your theme song.
Absolutely. It's my mantra.
Well, I was rolling down the road in some cold blue steel. I had a blues man on the back and a beautician at the wheel. We're going downtown in the middle of the night. We're laughing and I'm joking and we're feeling all right. Oh, I bet I'm nationwide. Yes, I bet.
It makes me giggle in a good way.
Yeah, I feel like this album got like I think Tejas was a little bit of a departure, a little bit, you know what I mean? And then this got back to like some down and dirty and gritty riffs and
funny
stuff.
And I love one of the verses is like, and my gold tooth displayed. And then he rhymes that with made. And I love it. Yeah. I love that. That just makes, that's such a fun rhyme. And I love that he's displaying his gold tooth.
Right. And
his rotted tooth.
Now, this song, I didn't even know it was a cover. This the song that opens the album is an Isaac Hayes song.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I Thank You.
Yeah, right.
I thank you for recording today, Kristen.
You didn't have to love me like you did, but you did, but you did.
I'm going to go right into Cheap Sunglasses.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So this album had the three songs we played. These were gigantic songs on FM radio.
You wake up in the morning and the light has hurt your head. The first thing you do when you get up out of bed is hit that streets of running and try to beat the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
We've all purchased cheap sunglasses.
Yeah.
And they look good. They don't last long, but they look good when you need them.
Yeah.
Moving on to, now I don't think, do you have, oh no, that's me that, hold on. The next album, the cover cracks me up because the past two album covers, it seemed like they really tried to do something with the album artwork. And this one is just as goofy as can be.
Yeah, I wonder what the story behind it. Like, we want to do kind of a goof on an album cover.
Yeah.
Or were they serious?
Yeah, I mean, the font's not great. It's just like out in the desert.
Well, it's 1981, so they're at least, I don't know, maybe the font is trying to...
Maybe, but it's pink. I don't know. And then there's a fourth guy in there, like...
Right.
I don't know. El Loco is the album.
So this is the one I didn't have this album. I had this cassette. Okay. This is when I was in the cassette area. And, oh gosh, I there was a lot I liked. Did I pick three songs from this?
You picked three.
Okay. Let's start with the one that is so nasty. He even mentioned, okay, it's, hey, I want to drive you home, but he's describing a car, but he's really describing a girl. And at one point, he's like, she's underage, but, you know, so she hasn't had a lot of miles. And it's like, oof.
Oof.
But I do like the song. This is I Want to Drive You Home.
All right, here we go.
She is an American girl.
Oh, here's the line.
She had a little, so she came
keep there's.
I will. You let me know.
I love this one. It ain't being ripped. I mean, it's gross, but it's fun.
It was acceptable in 81.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, but it's funny. I loved the song when I had this cassette as a teenager.
Because.
But now as an adult, like listening to that, I'm like, oof. But I still like the song. I want to say I still like the song.
Because they're singing, this is 1981, so they're singing about a girl that was your age.
Yeah.
These guys. Well,
maybe a little bit older than me because I was 11, but.
Yeah.
Although I will say that was when I discovered music and I always rock music and I always remember it because the Who's Face Dances was the first album I ever bought that in the Cars, mm-hmm. that Cars was old. And there's a song called Daily Records and he's like, and the line is, I watch my kids grow up and ridicule the bunch. Cause when you are 11, the whole world's out to lunch. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm 11. So I always remember, oh, that's when, you know, I got into rock music and that's such a touchstone, but that's how old I was when this cassette
I love the Face Dances album so
I
much.
I think it's great. It's crazy. It's looking back on it because that's my, I've talked about this on the show. Like Kenny Jones was the drummer to me.
Right.
Like, oh, I like Kenny. He's my favorite. He's cute. I had no idea what came before.
Right. Yeah. And the drums are fine on those albums.
They're
exactly what those songs need.
And they've got another cute guy in the band, which was good for me. That was my first Hit Parader, too, was The Who on the cover Parader.
Kenny has a book, Let the Good Times Roll, Kenny Jones' autobiography.
Wow. Is it good?
I didn't read it.
Oh.
I have a lot of books that I don't read. I get them to give away as prizes. I always keep one for myself. And then...
Do you know which one I have that
I'm reading Daltrey's right now. It's good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's
okay.
Good.
Do you know which one I've had forever? And I mean, I might have had this for 20 years and never read it. And I'm like, I'm so curious. I don't think it's an autobiography, but it's about Peter Grant. I'm like, oh, this would be, I want to read this.
Manager.
But I'm like, and now I've got time. I should read that instead of this other book.
Now, when I say I haven't, I crack all of them and leaf through and find stuff I want to read, but I haven't read it cover to cover. So I couldn't even tell you if it's good or bad.
Okay.
All right. I didn't pick any songs from this album because you picked three.
Yay! Okay.
And another one that's gross, but I like it is Pearl Necklace.
Yeah, I didn't pick it either.
it's right on the. It's Ooh. It's like it's not even trying to hide what's happening.
Right. Yeah. But we were singing and whatever.
And they do say that, I think there's lines like the girl's freaky or, you know, so they're like, they're putting it on her.
And
like
she wants it.
She wants it.
She wants it.
That's what she wants.
It unnerves him, but.
Yeah.
Well.
Doesn't unnerve him enough not to deliver. Right.
What's next? Tube Snake Boogie.
Huh.
Yeah.
What's that about?
I don't know. I just, that's one of those I've never questioned.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a girl, she lives across town. She's the one that really get down when she boogie. She do the tube state boogie. Well, now boogie little baby. She kind of funky with a pink and black sock. She likes to boogie. She do the tube snake boogie. Well, now boogie, boogie, baby.
This album's fun.
It's fun.
I actually think the cover might have hurt record sales, possibly.
You think?
I mean, I don't know.
They're already established.
Well, the album before this went platinum, and this one, they were back to gold.
Really?
Yeah, according to Wikipedia.
That's shocking, again, because this is, and I can also remember there was a radio promotion called the El Loco Magic Bus, where like you'd get on a bus and go to one of their concerts, and it's funny, because then I'm like, gosh, I wish I was old enough to get on that bus, but I'm like, who wants to get on a bus in Fort Worth and drive all the way to Dallas, 45 minutes, with a bunch of strangers? I mean, you could just drive.
Let me ask you this question. You've only seen ZZ Top once.
Yes, correct.
I've obviously never seen them. When concerts come back, hopefully in 2021, If they come, do we go to that thing?
We go. Hell yeah, we go.
As long as we don't have to go out to San Bernardino or some ridiculous thing.
No, we go
thing.
To the bowl. We get a box. We get our wine. Yes.
And I'll try to get free tickets because I have quite the connection at the Hollywood Bowl.
I like the bowl and the Greek too. Yeah. I like them both.
Yeah.
Parking is a disaster. You got to Uber, but that's also a disaster.
Yeah.
So you're just in.
Well, we can do that park and ride by the Universal Studios, and you get on the bus and they drive you right to the bowl. And then when you walk down the hill, you get right on the bus, they drive you right back up.
Yeah.
Either way, we'll do it.
Okay. I think I've done the park and ride, but I can't remember. And yeah, I think, yes.
When you were at the Hart Joan Jett with Johnny, what did you guys do? How did you guys get
well,
there?
Well, I think we did have I don't remember because they left early, mind you.
Right.
Because there were 17 acts before Hart.
And, yeah. And
I'm like, it's Johnny a school night. And my precious child, it was the first rock concert I had taken him to.
Yeah.
We went and had dinner before. And that gal was great. Yeah, Rob Schneider's daughter.
What's her name? L. King.
This is no slight. But I'm like, we're barely hanging on. This kid had a full day at school.
Yeah.
And I was so excited. But luckily, I got the whole box, and because I got months in advance, and I'm like, when we do that, and there's a fourth, and it's a stranger, I always feel the need to like take care of them.
Yeah, talk to them,
and I'm
everything.
Just like, you know what? It's
no
worth
dice.
It for me just to buy the whole thing
and
then give it to a friend. And thank goodness I did, because my family had to leave.
Yep. Well, then you, who was I with? Was I with Chip Chinnery at that? Yeah.
Yeah. And David Wilde, you were.
I wasn't with David.
Okay.
We just came and saw you.
Okay, yeah.
But I remember you said, hey, they left. Do you want to come back and sit in our box with us? And my free tickets were actually like three boxes in front of yours.
Okay. Well.
So I was like, our seats are better.
All right.
You don't want to hang. Then be
that
way.
That's fine.
Be
that's
a jerk.
Fine. But yeah, he, right at the end of Joan Jett's set is when he, and it's so cute. He'll be like, you were looking so forward to this. And I go, Johnny, you're a child. It's fine. It really was a great show. And I'm glad I saw it.
It's nice, though, when the kids act like that, because that way you've instilled something in them.
Yes.
You know?
I hate it. Like, I hate it. But at the same time, I love it.
Yeah.
That he cares enough and is that.
Like when the kids will come and apologize for their behavior unsolicited and give you a hug, that's pretty cool. And then you just go, okay, we're doing something
wrong
if they're doing that.
You know, I'm with you.
We were originally going to record this outside. Do you think we were going to have a party on the patio?
Yeah.
Okay.
With a dead mouse.
Let's have it right now.
Dead mouse.
Could have been a raccoon. I don't know what it was. Dusty Hill, by the way.
Okay, yeah, okay. She's getting kind of hot. Mary's in the icebox, wishing she was not. Connie's in the whirlpool, Jimmy's trying to be cool. Libby's in the bushes, cause she's nobody's fool. We turn the lights down low and have a party on the patio. Right, the simple life. The simple pleasures in life.
Cheap sunglasses, barbecue, and a party on the patio.
Right? It's funny that it's only now dawned on me that is. But in a lot of bands can't get away with that kind of simplistic lyric. Like, I can remember, I always think of this, love is strong and you're so sweet. I'm like, how did these guys who wrote some of the greatest songs land on love is strong and you're so sweet? And I was also this morning driving here, I was listening to Agent Provocateur, Foreigner. And there's that song, She's Too Tough. And it's like, the opening line is, my girl, they say she's all right, but I know she's more than all right. I'm like, that's terrible. But it's not like any of these are any more clever, but they're just, there's something about the song and the delivery that is in on it. They know they're not wordsmiths.
Agent Provocateur is very spotty because you'll have a song like That Was Yesterday, which I love.
Yes.
And then you'll have that one. It's just like, all right.
Yeah.
So here we go. It's 1983. It's Eliminator. I didn't pick any songs from this because we know them all. I did pick one of the obvious ones as our playout song.
Okay.
But if I
picked one,
and if I was gonna pick one to play during the show, I would have picked the exact same one you picked.
It's great.
It's great.
It's got me under pressure. And when I saw them, which on the next tour is when I saw them, they opened with this. Nice. And I thought it was a great opening song.
This album cover sucks. If you see this up close, it's a terrible drawing. It's not, I mean, I like the logo. I like the double Z in the top, but the actual drawing of this car is really, it's crappy.
But it went with the whole I feel like a
real photo of a real car would have been better than the drawing's just really juvenile. It's not very good.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that.
Now, this did not stop album sales. Cover. This thing was all over MTV constantly. You couldn't get away from ZZ Top on MTV.
And they did the right thing with those videos. We're going to do a thing where we're going to kind of tell a story really with these guys in this car. We're not going to just put ourselves out there because, we want to put some hot chicks.
Yeah. They're kind of almost like, what were they in these videos? Were they ghosts?
They were muses. Who knows?
Guardian angels maybe?
Yes, there you go. That's what they were.
But the spinning fur guitars, it's just...
Oh, the whole thing.
The whole package was great. And they were dressed, like, they almost had costumes on, because they were all dressed in, like, kind of dusty brown leathery clothes. Even Frank Beard had kind of like the...
Yeah.
Frank Beard's the one. His name's Beard. He doesn't have a beard.
My boss used to write for a show called Last Man on Earth. And I think I'm trying to put the story together.
That's the Will Forte show? Okay.
And I believe it was that show that she was working on that they wanted that car. It might have been another show, but there was some show she was writing for, and she's written for a lot. But that they wanted that car for something. Uh-huh. And I guess Billy comes with the car. He comes, it's not just like you don't rent the car. Billy comes with the car.
You mean as a package deal? Is that what you mean?
Well, meaning like they don't just drop off the car for you to put in your show. He comes with it.
Okay, and he sticks around to make sure everything's cool.
I don't know if it's that or just it's, part of the fun of getting the car. I don't know, but he was there with the car because he, I guess, has... either that one or a duplicate of it. I don't know.
That's cool.
But yeah, like if you want that car in your production, good news.
You get Billy.
You get
too.
To meet Billy Gibbons.
All right, let's play it. Got Me Under Pressure. It's a great one. There are synthesizers on this, so maybe when you saw them, they did have a guy maybe under the stage or something.
Yeah, I would.
She likes cocaine. In there.
Yeah.
Look at that.
And it's funny. I don't remember. Because we were like at the back row of the floor.
Okay.
And so I could just see, and I do remember because I wasn't this tour, not the tour I saw, either the Eliminator tour or the Afterburner tour, but I think it was Eliminator, where it was sponsored. And there was like a sponsored by Miller Beer or something.
Wow.
And I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But I think, if I'm not wrong, that was the first openly sponsored by something, and was kind of rough.
I think the Rolling Stones Tattoo You tour had big sponsorship too.
I don't
remember who it was.
Maybe I'm misremembering this,
but they were one of the few, or one of the one of just a couple that had tour sponsorship. Why not?
You know what?
Make that money.
Like professional athletes or musicians, you don't know how long that ride's going to be. Make that money.
This is their eighth album. They're probably like, yay, it's about time that we
start getting
the big money.
Yeah. I bet up to this point that they probably didn't make a ton of money. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. You hear that a lot. It's like, yeah, we didn't really start making money until... Bruce Springsteen's like, yeah, until we really didn't make a lot of money until Born in the USA. It was always
he had to split those fees.
I know, with all those guys.
All those guys.
There's three guys here. E Street Band? What, 17 guys? So this is just a hits fest. Give Me All Your Lovin', Got Me Under Pressure, Sharp Dress Man, Legs, TV Dinners was even a minor hit. So I mean, this you know all these songs.
Yes,
and I'll play one as the play out because you have to. So but yeah, this was it, and I didn't feel like it was a sellout. It felt like it was a progression into the 80s.
I agree. I think they still maintained their integrity. Like I think we've talked about this. Mm-hmm. Like certain bands that really weathered the 80s well. Like, I think weathered the 80s really well.
And John Anderson was so psyched about the 80s period. He goes, "Finally, I'm a rock star." He goes, "I was finally a rock star," and he loved it.
That's funny. Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. Anyway.
And you know what else they did was then they kind of kept up this Eliminator persona for the next for the next three albums.
Right. Like we're gonna go from a car to a spaceship.
Spaceship. It makes sense.
Sure.
And this is the next album is Afterburner. Again, all these are produced by Bill Ham. So even though we're getting 80s style production, he's credited for it. So yeah. What do you got on Afterburner?
I got Sleeping Bag.
I love it.
It's a good song. You know what I mean?
I mean, the drums are electronic, right? Kind of. But I love how this song.
I do too.
I don't know if I took it from the top. I hope I did. Maybe I didn't. Yeah, you have to. I love what's going on here. Also, Eliminator sold 10 million. Great. And this album,
I love it.
And this album sold 5 million, which is no slouch. I mean,
no slouch.
When you sell 10 million, you know the next one's not going to sell 10 million.
Of course.
But when you sell 5 million, you're like, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was 1985 when that came out. So I must have been 16 when they toured the following whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember this. I went with my friend Chris.
And is Chris a boy?
A boy. Okay. Chris Baltazar. And we... because I have like these guy friends that we were just friends, but mm-hmm. we would go to concerts together because, you know, I liked rock.
You didn't have any romantic feelings for these guys. Do you think they had romantic feelings for you?
No,
why do you
no.
say, oh God, no?
Ugh, no, no, no.
Were they attractive guys?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, for the most part. Like I remember going to Kiss and Wasp with them and Ted Nugent.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing. And I remember being like, what? But so Chris Baltazar, he drove a Saab and he had his speakers in the back. So you can't even see out the back because there were like full
and
stereo speakers.
You can't really talk when you're in the car either.
But I remember we pulled over for gas before we left to go to Dallas because mm-hmm. every good band was in Dallas. So you had to drive that, whatever, 45 minutes to Reunion Arena, which is no longer there. But that's where all the great people played. And because we have the beer in the floorboard, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him coming over and he's like, push the beer. My mother's here. Like the mother coincidentally was at the same gas station. So I had to make sure, you know, our beer was hidden from view. But yeah, it's such a memory I have. And then we get there and that it was great. I just remember that song. And I remember it was so great. It was just a great show.
I hope it was Miller Beer because they were sponsoring the tour.
Okay, yes, that makes sense.
See, I had my best friend in high school, Laurie Dangle, and my mom and dad would always be like, "Why don't you ask Laurie out on a date?" I go, "Why do I need to ask Laurie out on a date? We're together all the time anyway,
right?
What's the deal?" And I don't like Laurie. I like Bridget. You know, and Laurie doesn't like me. She likes Alex. So I mean, it's like,
yeah.
Why? It was so funny. Her dad was a school teacher at another high school. And every year when they would have this ski trip, he would, because her family were big skiers, he would be one of the chaperones. So Laurie would be allowed to miss school and go on that field trip, and she would always invite me. Like, she'd go, "Hey, Friday's the field trip. Can you?" And like, my parent, like, if I told my parents for any other reason, I'm not going to school Friday. But if I said, "Oh, Laurie asked me to go skiing on Friday, but I'll have to miss school," my parents are like, "Yes, absolutely go." Because I think any chance that there could be a romantic thing happening,
oh my gosh,
they were
funny.
Trying to push it because they they really liked Laurie. So,
oh, but, that's so great, Pat. Yeah. I love that.
Are you still friends with those guys? Because, like, I just talked to Laurie on the phone last week.
I mean, when I go to Fort Worth, I see there's Andy Contreras, who is a friend, and we still, I think through Facebook, but also at reunions stuff. I'm very friendly with, there's a whole group that I went to high school with that, Kurt, like, there are a lot of them that I'm still friends with.
Yeah.
And it's lovely.
And that's great.
It's great to be able to kind of see how people mature and how they change and how they grow and how they're kind of still the same in many ways.
Exactly.
And, you know, so they're from Texas, so there are a lot of those folks that are, you know, whatever, beyond saving. But most of them, for the most part, it's lovely to be able to, I mean, as much as I hate Facebook for many reasons, it is nice to be able to watch your friends' kids grow.
Yeah.
And you know, there's one like 80s site that some of the people I went to high school with always kind of comment and post on. And that's just fun. Like, I have no problem with a little like nostalgia and a little bit of like, oh yeah, like that's who I was. And here's how I'm
different.
And here's how I'm the same.
You're right. Yeah.
And,
I agree with you. I'm 100% on board. And I agree. Like, you know, when people, like my brother's like, "I would never be on Facebook. Facebook's a mess." I'm like, have you ever been on it? No. I'm like, well, maybe not have so many opinions about stuff you don't know about.
Right.
I use Facebook for the, you know, I use it to promote this podcast. And then I have my personal page where I just connect with people from my past that I still like, and I want to know what they're doing.
Yeah. And there's lovely people who have reached out from the show who are listeners. Mm-hmm. And that's really fun that they like something that you like and can... And I know Elliot Easton also has a fan page, and it's nice. I mean, I try not to go on for extended periods of time,
right?
But just to kind of connect on things, can be good.
Yeah, like Pilar made a post about me last week, and then my favorite grade school teacher from sixth grade, Miss Wendell, she commented, and then she's like, "Patrick, how are you?" And then, you know, so I'm messaging, you know, with my grade school teacher.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing!
Fun. I love it. I love it.
That's great.
From Afterburner, I chose one of those songs. I chose Velcro Fly.
Okay.
I don't, any other time I would hate this production, but I don't mind it.
Right. I think his voice grounds it a little.
Yes. And there were big songs on here. Sleeping Bag, Stages, Rough Boy, Velcro Fly.
Rough Boy, that's right. They did have a ballad.
Yeah, that's a ballad.
That's a full ballad.
Without a doubt.
Who wrote that? Do we know? Is that like a Diane Warren or is that them?
All songs in this album are credited to Gibbons, Hill, and Beard. I don't really think they used... That's one thing they didn't do. They didn't go to the Holly Knight or the Desmond Child.
Okay. They didn't do the Aerosmith.
No.
Okay.
Which means they're getting publishing too.
Yeah.
These guys might be a lot richer than we think they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're I bet you're right.
Really rich.
You couldn't really tell from that documentary, right? And they don't live.
I mean, they had like some jewelry, and they were like, their clothes were like I'm like, I bet that stupid hat he's wearing is a $10,000 hat, you know, whatever.
With the things on.
Yeah, they had boots, you know, you know, good for them.
Yeah, good for them. I think good for them.
All right. Then it's 5 years until the next, because now, you know, they're doing a ton of touring on these albums.
Yes.
Like before it was probably album tour and then the next year album tour. But now after Eliminator, it's like that was probably a 2.5 year tour. That's why it took so long for the next album to come out. So now it's been 5 years. So now we're in 1990 when Recycler comes out. So what did you choose off Recycler?
I picked the hit, right? Double Back.
I like this song. I like it. I've got the show. good song.
I think so too. Yeah. I think so too.
This album sold a million copies, but still, it's 1990, so things are really changing.
Yes.
So, and that's respectable. A million copies, that's very good.
Yeah, platinum.
Exactly. Hang them up. I bet they, I love when the guys hang the platinum albums up, when they display them.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
Hang them up.
Hang them up.
I got all this crap on my wall. It doesn't mean a thing.
It does. It means all this hard work to stalk these people.
That's true. I did stalk a lot of these people. I have two songs. I'm just going to play one. The other single off this album was My Head's in Mississippi, but I'm going to play this other deeper cut called Decision or Collision. All right, now we're going to move on to some albums that you don't know so much about.
No, I don't.
These are the last five. We did the first 10.
Yes.
Now these are the these are the most recent five. Here's what always strikes me as funny. This next album, Antenna, comes out in 1994, and now they're no longer on Warner Brothers Records. So what happens there? They just sold 16 million copies, 16 million albums for Warner Brothers Records. Does the band decide that they want? You would think that Warner Brothers would want to keep them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Hey, you guys, we just made a lot of money with you guys. 16 million albums over three recordings.
You think it was Warner Brothers that's like, nah, we're going to put you out to pasture. Yeah.
And then RCA says, well, we'll take you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sure it's that.
Good. Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm just guessing because
I just had a brain freeze for some reason.
But don't, isn't that what record companies do?
I think so. Now, I'm not going to play I'll just play one song from each of these.
Pat, listeners wanted us to both pick songs from all 15 yes. albums. And I'm like,
you said you didn't know the other five.
I didn't know them.
Here's the deal. The ones we played, those are the well-known albums. But I have to be honest with you. These other five albums have some really great stuff on it. Like they shouldn't be, I don't want you to be that person that abandons the artist after a certain point.
Okay. Well, let's hear it then.
Didn't you buy the Cars Move Like This?
I did, but when I liked Move Like This. Okay. I didn't like Door to Door.
Yes. Okay. But I'm just saying that was their new music. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And these guys have never stopped. So this is from 1994 and the album's called Antenna. I love the album cover. And I'm going to play a song called Pincushion.
I've been stung, so I asked her why. She gave me acupuncture's alibi. Shook my soul and stole my dough. Let my condition now be dog who. I'm a pincushion, gotta face the facts. Just a pincushion, you really think she acts.
Anything? Oh, Christy.
I don't know.
All right.
It feels like a bits from the all the other things kind of put together.
I got you. All right. Bill Hamm is still producing, but Billy Gibbons is also co-producing. So the two of them now are behind the boards. All right. This is from 1996. This is Rhythmine is the album. And this is a song called Zipper Job.
Oh, my God.
So here we go.
Oh, boy.
I think it has a cool groove in there. No, Christy's shaking her head. No way.
Yes. A zipper job. I mean, does that mean it gets caught and it's an owie thing like a Ben Stiller and Something About Mary? Like, what?
I don't know. Okay. hopefully I get you with this song.
Oh my goodness. All right.
It's from 1999.
Okay.
The album's called, it's either Triple X or it wouldn't be 30 because it wouldn't, they weren't, it wasn't their 30th anniversary. I think it's Triple X. It's three X's.
Okay.
This song is called Poke. Wait a minute.
Poke. No,
that's not the whole title.
Okay.
I just wanted to enunciate. It's called Poke Chop Sandwich.
Okay. Oh boy.
Poke chop sandwich. Waiting in the fat. Riding up Tom Tom. A double fat bag. Got a poke chop sandwich. Laying on a drum. Chops breezy. We're gonna get some of that pork chop. Now,
this is the parody of ZZ Top. This is parody, right? Like, this is Weird Al Yankovic.
I really like these albums. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I'm gonna give you.
Oh, Pat, no more. What?
Two
what?
More albums. There's two more. There's just two more. Okay. So for this next album, I you're gonna choose the song because I picked three. I'm just gonna give you titles and you're gonna choose
okay.
which one.
Okay.
Do you want to hear Alligator? Like Allie. Like,
oh, yeah.
Do you want to hear Buck Naked?
Oh, boy.
Or do you want to hear Punk Ass Boyfriend?
Punk Ass Boyfriend.
All right. This is from the album Mescalero. 2003.
So you stayed in my house for about a year. Ate my food and you drank my beer. My money kept asking for more. Then you disappeared, didn't close the door, babe. What's up, what's up? What's up, what's up? It's your punk ass boyfriend. Then you came around.
I hate the production.
It's a little noisy. It's a little noisy.
I mean, it's not as bad as those other two that you played. Poke Salad Annie or whatever that one was.
It was a poke chop sandwich.
Poke chop sandwich.
All right. Here we go. I got two more from this.
Oh, you're God,
gonna,
Pat!
I'm going to give you...
This is not just me. I speak for the listeners now.
I'm going to give you...
I want to step in for the listeners.
This album's produced by Rick Rubin.
Oh, boy.
Is that going to help you? This
is a little bit.
From 2012.
All right.
It's called La Futura. I'm gonna give you three titles. You pick one.
Oh, my God.
I got to get paid, and that's how it's spelled. Got to get paid. I don't want to lose you, or flying high. Which one do you want to hear?
I got to get paid.
Yeah, we got a little Christy snort on that one. All right, here we go. I got to get paid.
Oh, boy.
25 lighters on my dresser, yes, sir. You know I got to get paid. Five lighters on my dresser, yes, sir. You know I got to get paid. I got 25 lighters for my 25 folks. Gonna break the bank, then
again,
five more.
The production is terrible and the voice is terrible, but it's not. I mean, there's something there. I got a little bit of like,
gotcha.
If it was just less,
less Muppety.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. That's good. That's all. That's it.
Okay.
That's it for us.
That was. I mean, what happened?
I really like these albums.
If the production were simpler and the voice were better, maybe.
Okay. But I still feel that if we go and see them in concert, they're going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends on that voice. Like, these to stop smoking. Months before, the regimen is no whiskey, no cigarettes.
No whiskey, no cigarette.
Oh, my
God. I remember, I saw John Mellencamp in interviews. I want to punch him. But I actually think he's real tough and he would kick my ass. So, but I saw him in an interview once and they were asking about, why does he still smoke? Doesn't that hurt his voice? And he said, I find that smoking makes my voice sound the way I want it to sound. He's just such a dick.
Well, It and may, a, but at a certain point, there's
had
goes
a heart attack.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know why I brought you on Mellencamp up, but I did because we were talking about smoking. Yeah. All right, Christy, when will Bless the Hearts come back on the...
Because September, in September.
And are these... Because with animation, the voice actors can do their parts at home. I mean,
absolutely.
Just like... They probably have a nice mic like this.
What we have done is... Well, some do, but what we've done is we do all temp tracks... Then once all the stuff is animated and done, then they come in and just one person, because we recorded Jack McBrayer for a part, and he is there at whatever, Margarita Mix or whatever the place is.
Okay.
But it's just him and then the guys in the booth, which he doesn't even have to interact with.
Yeah, he's actually behind glass.
He's behind glass. Everything is safe. But that's how we've done that, is that... And I think even now, it's not just temp that a lot of them can go safely into a booth. And and it's fun because Kristen Wiig is the star of our show, and she's busy. She can't do the table reads.
Yeah, she's going to be in Wonder Woman.
So Janet Varney has come in just to help us out and do some table reads, which that's fun. It's fun to see her. And
Now, does that turn into like some minor part on a show for Janet?
Or maybe. Maybe. I mean, they pay her to do the table reads. All that's good. But
got to get paid.
Yeah,
ZZ Top.
Got to get paid. And
got to get paid, Janet Vaughn. So,
oh, my Lord.
And will you be doing any voices this year? Is your character coming
Dawn
back?
Oh, Dawn has a few little, just a little here and there.
All right.
Not much. She always just kind of pops
up.
In and just yells.
A nice little runner for Christy.
Which has been fun. It's been so interesting because all those years on King of the Hill, I never got to do it. And so this is... been a fun thing.
You're more confident as a performer now, I think.
Well, no. I have to tell you what I have learned. And in a way, like, I knew that I pivoted to writing for a reason, which is I could make money as a writer, where I really wasn't as an actress, comedian, whatever. But what discovering on this show that, like, because I'll have sometimes sub in for Maya at the table read, Rudolph at the table reads, because she's... I guess unavailable. But what I notice is like, it's so crystal clear to me why I didn't progress. And I mean, I know how to tell a joke or I know how to pitch a joke and what have you. But this thing that they do is next level in a way that, like, I always knew it, but is really... So honestly, I'm glad they don't give me much to do, because I can recognize in a very profound way that, I wasn't very good at it. And I knew it. Knew it. But I always thought, well, if I was given the right part or doing the right thing, I'm like, no, this is not for me.
Well, that's good, though. That's good because there's a lot of people that come out here, and when things don't happen for whatever reason, they never have a realization why it didn't happen. You know what
I mean? Right.
Like, I would go on commercial auditions all the time. I'm not good at reading the copy or remember. I just wasn't good at it, and I'm fine with admitting that.
Yeah.
You know, I can really just be me.
Yeah.
And be like funny as me, like here over the mic, hopefully funny. But I have no problem, you know, realizing that and saying, I'm still out here.
Yeah.
For 25 years, still having fun.
Meeting your rock star
meeting
idols.
Meeting people talented like Christy Stratton and meeting my wife and having kids. And
yes.
I have I don't really look back. I only look forward.
Isn't that interesting? You know, I remember my first TV sitcom writing gig was on a show called Three Sisters. And I can remember, like, we would be writing or we'd go down for a rehearsal, and these actors who were the stars of the sitcom, most of their day was just sitting around.
Boring.
Right. And like, it wasn't like what we saw in the artistry that they brought to whatever happened on that one shining night of the week when you shoot in front of an audience or whatever. And I have all kinds of respect for that.
Right.
But I just remember going like, so your most of your day is not that thing that you love to do.
Right. Whereas you're working on the words.
Yes.
The jokes, the story.
Right. There is no downtime. You don't sit and are bored.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the kind of person that's like, well, what do I do next? I'm not that person. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you know what? I've always wanted to do this. Or
and your day flies by because you're busy.
Yeah, yes.
Their day, they're probably like, ugh.
Right, which is how it works. It's this is not a criticism of anything. It's just how
it is.
It is.
Yeah. All right, Christy, you're on Twitter, but you haven't been too active on Twitter.
I haven't been active on Twitter.
That's okay. That's fine.
It's hard.
And you're at.
I'm at Christy S. Mann, I think, on Twitter, but yet on Insta, I'm at Christy Stratton.
And you're more involved on the Instagram?
Yeah.
All right,
that's
cool.
What I like. Yeah.
I got to get into Instagram. I'm not that, I got to figure it out. I'm going to have my kids give me a tutorial.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, I've loved it. I'm so happy to be here.
Everyone watch Bless the Hearts when it comes back. And that's great that it's going to come back in September because a lot of shows aren't coming back because they should be filming right now and they can't film.
Correct.
But you guys can because all your characters are animated.
Yeah. And Fox is doing a big push. So there's going to be some other shows from some great people that are going to be terrific
and
as well.
Not that your show was in jeopardy at all, but now they really need you. You know what I mean?
Well, we'll see, because we probably won't find out until like October or if we get another season. And it's who knows? It's hard to say.
Well, it's a great show. And I wouldn't say that if I didn't think it. I would just go, well, you know, hey, I have to check that out. But no, I have watched it and I do like it. And I love when Jesus talks to Kristen Wiig.
Yes. That's Kumail Nanjiani.
Yes, he's great.
Who also doesn't do the table reads because he's busy.
He's busy doing bench press.
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting ready for Marvel movies.
Uh-huh.
All right, Christy, thank you so much for being
here.
We are
at
Rock
sir.
Solid Show. Kyle is at kyle.somefunny. You can go to rocksolidpodcast.com for everything about the show, t-shirts, links to the shows. And if you've been listening for, this is our 498th episode. So if you've been listening for 10 years and almost 500 episodes, and you have not supported the show for $2 a month via Patreon, how dare you? Go to patreon.com/rocksolidpodcast. Again, Christy, always wonderful to sit with you. Hopefully, maybe
you
we'll
well.
Get to interview Roy Thomas Baker. If not,
nice.
Please pick a topic.
Gary Newman. That's another one. You need to do it. Gary Newman.
I got to do a deep dive on his music then. And then we'll do an all Gary Newman episode. How many albums do we do on that?
Oh, I don't know.
You decide.
Five. Okay.
Okay. We'll do the first five.
Okay.
All right. That's what we'll do next.
All right.
All right. A deep dive.
Well, let's have him though. He's in LA.
Is he?
I think.
He won't come in person though.
Well.
But do you want to wait until we can get him in person or do you just want to?
Well, then let's hold off on that and wait.
You think of a topic and through your busy schedule, if something pops up to you, please let me, because I don't want it to be, I know that you're busy and I know that I don't have that rotating thing anymore with you and Mike and Murray and April like we used to. I call that the classic lineup.
Oh, yeah.
But I do very much appreciate when you give me your time and I really do have fun looking at you face to face and recording this show. It gives me, I don't know, it's joyous for me.
Oh, and so, me as well, Pat.
So there you go. So, because I like you very much.
It's
I really like
sweet.
You. And let's play out with Sharp Dressed Man.
Let's do it.
Because every girl's crazy. On Sharp Dressed Man.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Christy.
crazy about a shot glass, man.